Scammers are seemingly everywhere, and they're targeting people across all age groups, not just the elderly. But some people have taken it upon themselves to fight back against these scammers and to warn other victims. But is it making any difference? I'm Abrar El-Hiti, and this is your Daily Charge. I'm filling in for Roger today, and I'm joined by CNET Editor-at-Large Ian Schur. Welcome, Ian.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
It's been really interesting following this story. So I'm really excited to talk about it.
I'm excited to talk to you about it. I mean, the thing is that a lot of us feel like phone and online scams have become a lot more prevalent lately. Is there data to back that up?
No, that's actually the worst problem. You know, there's a lot of anecdotal data out there, which is what I relied on for my story. But what got me into this in the first place was that, you know, I had fallen into this kind of portion of the internet that's devoted to wasting people's time, and in particular, scammers' time. So, you know, they call you, and typically we pick up and we yell at them, or we just, you know, don't answer, all that. Well, there are people who decide to try and basically waste these scammers' time as much as possible, keep them on the phone. Their feeling is the longer they're on the phone with me, the less likely they are scamming Aunt Matilda or whatever, right? And it's really fascinating part of the internet. And they've gotten really popular on YouTube, which is how I found out about a lot of it. I knew they existed before, but not at this level, getting millions of views regularly now. And one of the things that really interested me was that as I was watching these videos, they almost every time the scammers would ask for gift cards, right? And I remember when Western Union was popular with scammers, and even, you know, direct deposit, whatever. Now they were relying so much on gift cards. And I'm like, I wonder what that's all about. And that's what led me into really looking into this. But getting back to your question, there isn't that much data. The Federal Trade Commission released data last year, first time that we really ever got a peek inside. And this is all self-reported, right? So I, as a victim, have to decide to tell some organization that feeds into the FTC or the FTC directly that I've lost money and that I was scammed. And a lot of people don't tend to because it's embarrassing, of course. And also, there aren't that many consumer protections. So as a result, a lot of people tend to not report it because they're not going to get their money back anyway. So the FTC data says that, you know, people have lost hundreds of millions of dollars on scams over the last few years. Average loss is $840 per person. But the more interesting thing to me is that most of the experts I track down and who follow the stuff believe it's off by many multiples, that this is actually far larger problem than any of us are aware of. But because of the way that the data is collected, as well as the incentives for retailers, right? They don't really have to make consumers whole when they get scammed. There's no real actual accounting of what's happening here.
You talked to somebody named Jim Browning, who does like the most creative way to fight back against scammers. It sounds like it's a lot of work, but tell us about what he does and why he does it.
Yeah, so this guy is really interesting. First off, he's like very much one of those computer engineer types, right? He's very focused. He's a little monotone, right? And he is very intense, which works really well for him. But what's interesting is that about 4 years ago, he, like all of us, was being interrupted throughout the day with these phone calls, and he decided, I've had enough. And what he did is he started looking into how the scammers worked and realized that their scams, in part, you know, were very consistent, right? They followed a similar script. And among other things, in order to execute their scams, at some point they needed to take control of their victims' computers. And they used standardized software to do that, typically TeamViewer, which is a really popular free remote desktop software, or AnyDesk, which happens to have been founded by ex-TeamViewer people. And so it was really interesting to kind of see how he works. And unlike a lot of these people who, you know, there's another one on YouTube named Kit Boga, who I tend to find really funny because he was obviously at one point in the theater arts, because he has like a whole cast of different characters he's created in his head for all of these weird, wacky adventures he's going to take the scammers on. So he'll be like an 87-year-old woman who is following along in the scam, and then he'll be a customer service agent who makes their life really miserable, or, you know, the son who's a deadbeat or whatever else. And like these these very intricate stories. Jim Browning, on the other hand, who, by the way, that's an alias. He doesn't use his real name.
I figured.
he likes, yeah, right? He doesn't want to risk them coming after him. He actually, what he'll do is break into their computers and take documents and customer lists and all sorts of other stuff. And what he does from there is that he tries to warn people, hey, you may have been a victim of a scam. And on top of that, he'll even try to disrupt their work. So in a couple of cases, he's changed the outgoing message. You know, if you ever pick up the phone and it says, you know, we are your customer service, you called us, call us back or whatever, he'll change that to say, these are scammers. They want to scam you. Here's how the scam works. If you want to waste their time, press one. And so, you know, he's a really interesting character that way.
All right, so these are very fascinating. I mean, they're like, the videos are fascinating, and reading about this is fascinating. Are these efforts to fight back against scammers making a difference? Like, are authorities taking more notice of this issue?
That's probably the most unfortunate thing, is that a lot of this seems to be on the periphery, right? That partially we don't know how large a problem this is, except to know it's larger than we think. But sadly, you know, when you look at the number of scam baiters out there, they're making life miserable for a few scammers every day or every couple of days. Jim spends about 10 to 12 hours per week on it. So, you know, it's not a full-time job for him. He's got a real job. But on top of that, you know, he's just one man. And the reality is that when he's reported stuff to the authorities, you know, a lot of the scammers he runs across are in India. That just happens to be kind of how they are. He thinks that part of it is because there's a lot of well-educated people in India, but also not that many jobs. And so they kind of gravitate into this because they can use their English skills and their technical skills and make money somehow. But also, you know, one of the things that is really sad is that every time he's reported them to the authorities, he has never really heard back, only a couple of times. So it's really kind of, for him, it's very frustrating, right? He's on this mission, and obviously, you know, he's kind of this Batman-esque character in my head, right? He's going after all the bad guys and trying to make this stuff better, but very much, you know, he's trying to kind of, to use another analogy, he's kind of like Bugs Bunny trying to plug a million holes in the water dam, right? And he's only plugging a few at a time, and the water's still coming out. That said, Microsoft, believe it or not, is doing quite a bit. They have actually turned a lot of their fraud experts and everything internally, who used to deal with stuff and still do to some degree, deal with stuff like piracy and, you know, making sure people pay for Microsoft products. They've turned that on people who pretend to be Microsoft support people, because a lot of times these scammers say they work for Microsoft or Amazon or Apple or whatever, to get the person to believe them as they are becoming a victim. And so, in fact, Microsoft has gone through the trouble of trying to track these people down, trying to actually disrupt the money flow. You know, they started realizing how Visa and MasterCard were allowing these people to set up accounts to receive payments. So Microsoft went through the trouble of, you know, actually putting together court cases, trying to take them down. Now there's the gift card angle, and they're trying to work on that. But it's very clear, you know, Microsoft has a long history of going after illegal activity on the internet and being somewhat successful. Again, we don't know how large it is, so we don't know how successful broadly, but their numbers are certainly much larger than what Jim Browning or anyone else is doing. And that is promising. But at the end of the day, it's clear that the only way this is going to change, other than educating you and me, which is important, right? Knowing, for example, the one rule about all of this is that no legitimate business ever asks for payment in a gift card. So if you learn nothing else today, keep that in your head. No legitimate person will ever ask you for a gift card. If they do, hang up. You've got my permission. But I think what's interesting is that the real answer to this is on the retailer's end, right? That them clamping down on the system that has allowed making gift cards really easy to get and really hard to track is the only way that this is going to resolve itself.
And hopefully that's something we see more retailers stepping up to, if there are only hope, hopefully we see more of them stepping in. Ian, thanks so much for joining us. You can check out our coverage on CNET.com. If you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at The Daily Charge or sign up for direct text messages from Roger by heading to CNET.co/Daily Charge. And if you liked what you heard, please rate and subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us out. For The Daily Charge, I'm Abar El-Hiti. Thanks for listening.